Open your Bibles, if you would, please, again to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Lord Jesus, indeed, is a lover of our soul. The Bible said, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Someone once said, he'd rather die for you than live without you. He sacrificed himself that you might spend eternity with him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. There's a buzz in the air. You get around people and they begin to talk about things going on in our society, in our country, and it won't be long if you're among Christians that begin to talk about the Lord is coming back. How many believe the Lord's coming soon? And how true that is. And so today I'd like to talk about rekindle the flame for our return for Christ. We ought to get excited about the Lord coming soon. Someone once said you ought to walk on your tippy toes because the rapture could happen at any moment. The Lord comes back to take his saints home, be with him. But are we indeed living in the last days? Are we living in the times just prior to Christ's return? The Apostle Paul gave us a description of the end times. He gave us signs of the last days. Hope you write these down. It's mentioned right here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice, number one, the first sign of the last days is troublesome and dangerous times. Troublesome and dangerous times. Verse 1. It said, this know also that in the last days, now the word last days are the days that precede the return of Christ. As you get closer to the return of Christ, there are things mentioned here that will be prevalent in our society. And you look through these, it looks like the headlines of the local newspaper. It says, this know also that in the last days, what kind of times? Perilous times shall come. The word perilous means troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce. Savage, difficult means times that are hard to deal with. And interesting, according to this verse, the world will see at terrible times a societal degeneration. In other words, erosion, collapse of our society. If you watch much news, that's exactly what's happened to our society, which we live. It's collapsing. It's falling apart around us. And just a sign the Lord is coming soon. Interesting, this word perilous here is also used in the book of Matthew to describe a demon-possessed man. Let me read that for you. In Matthew 8:28, it says, and when he, talking about the Lord Jesus, was come to the other side of the country, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man could pass by the way. The word fierce is the same word as perilous. So the same word to describe a demon-possessed man, a harsh, savage, fierce man, is the same word that is used by the Apostle Paul to describe the times that precede the Lord's return. In other words, perilous times are here because of demonic influence. Go with me now to Matthew. I'm sorry, not Matthew. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy 4, right before 2 Timothy, if that's helpful for you. If you came today and did not bring a Bible with you, please borrow one of those books, the black books in front of you and the racks and the chairs, the row and there in front of you. I'll be calling the page numbers for those using that. Page 1670, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look for our key word, the latter times, the last days mentioned here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says, now the Spirit, about the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter, what? Times, some shall depart from the faith. Talking about that many will depart from that which we believe, from that which the Bible teaches, that which the Scripture stands for. And it says, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits, doctrines of the devils. When you see so many decisions being made by our government, so many of them just doesn't make any sense. It's against common sense. And where in the world do they come up with that? Or why are they doing that? And I believe it's none other because of seducing spirits of Satan in our society today. Someone said, because of people today are being seduced by demonic spirits, the world become a demonic graveyard. We are living in those times. For example, here our president issued an executive order that is putting women and children in danger is called by signing this executive order called Combating Discrimination on the Basis of Gender Identity. The president is allowing men to go into women's restrooms and changing areas on federal property including public high schools, universities, which receive federal funding. This means if a man says he feels like he is a woman, he can go into a woman's restroom and is protected by law to do so. Based on this executive order of President Biden, the NCAA, National Collegiate Association, Athletic Association, has established a policy that says schools must fully embrace the desire of any boy who claims to be a female on a girls' team in college competition. For example, according to this, the NCAA's policy handbook, boys should be able to use the locker room, shower, and toilet facilities of girls. When traveling, boys should be assigned to share hotel rooms with the girls. In all cases, teammates, coaches, and all others of the school should refer to this transgender student who is a boy by the girl's name he has chosen. This is what our president has signed in the law. If colleges and universities don't comply with these the mandates, they could be banned from hosting championships. And interesting, you say, what thinking is going on? How about the open borders? And you see, they're letting anybody and everybody come in without being checked. And not only do they come in, they provide medical insurance for them. They provide housing for them. They provide a paycheck for them. Something you and I have to work hard for. They're offered free. What kind of thinking is this? It just goes against all common sense. And I'm sure it's none other than demonic influence. But notice, go back now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at several things that are obvious signs of the end times. We won't cover all the words mentioned in the scripture we read together, but I want to look at the ones I believe that stand out the most in this several words referring to the last times. The first one is perilous times. The second one is self-centeredness will prevail. Self-centeredness will prevail. Verse 2, it says, for men shall be lovers of who? Their own selves. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is not anything new, but it's getting worse and worse, more prevalent. The people, all they think about is themselves and what they want, and the exclusion of anybody else. Then he gives us several signs of this self-love. In other words, self-love will be a characteristic of the last days. And many words mentioned. The first one is the word covetous. The word covetous, it literally means lovers of money. Basically, is always wanting more, not satisfied with what they have. Does that not describe our society? Always wanting something more and something different, not satisfied with what they have. That is a sign of self-love, of lovers of self. The next word is boasters, which means braggarts. People brag about all they have, all they do, all they are, as a sign of the last days. The next word is the word proud. The word proud means prideful, arrogant. Boy, do we not live with people that are so arrogant about themselves and things of they have. Another one mentioned here is disobedient to parents. The word disobedient means non-compliant. Disrespect for authority. Boy, do we not see that. You know, just go in the public classroom and see how the students respond to the authority of the teacher. Just so much disrespect for authority, and especially their parents. Another word mentioned here is the word unthankful. It means unappreciative, ungrateful. We live in a thankless generation. Of all that we have to be grateful for in our country, our new generation could care less about and have no great gratitude towards what we have as Americans. Another sign of the last days is unnatural affection will be prevalent. Unnatural affection, verse 3, without natural affection. There'll be affection toward others that's not natural. It literally means goes against nature itself. That is so much of the gay and lesbian movement today. You think about such a small minority of our country. Look at the movement they're making in our country. Not only is now accepted, it is protected and promoted by our government. And you say, how could such a small group move so far? I believe because of demonic influence. And notice, if you would please, go down to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans 1, it speaks very much about this lifestyle, this unnatural affection contrary to even nature, the laws of God itself. Romans 1, page 1581. This unnatural affection will be prevalent in the last days. In verse 24, Romans 1, 24, please. Look what it says about this unnatural affection. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What a description of this gay and lesbian lifestyle behavior. It said, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a what? The truth of God, God made man for woman, not man for man, a woman for woman. He says, because of this, look in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, unnatural affections called vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, that means due penalty, of the error of that which is meat. In other words, Paul refers to the self-destructive nature of this lifestyle, and which AIDS is a frightening evidence of that. And so much today of this is prevalent, and this is a sign that we're living in the last days. Verse 28, for even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word reprobate means a mind void of judgment. Does not describe our society today, our government, politicians have no judgment of right and wrong and just make decisions that seem to go against common sense, and shows you the influence, a deception of Satan. Another prevailing action in our signs of the end days is no self-control or savage behavior. Back in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, he used a couple of words there. It says incontinent and fierce. Incontinent means no self-control, fierce, savage behavior. Does that describe all the looting, the destroying of many cities and burning down places? Just so much no self-control and savage behavior, just a sign we're living in the last days. The next one is hatred and persecution of good. Hatred and persecution of good. Verse 3, it says, despises those that do good. And anything that's right and good and wholesome, our society seems to despise and just throw it out and act like it's terrible. In fact, they all call it all racism. And it's a title they give anything they don't like. In verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Unless the Lord brings revival to our country, it's only going to get worse. And we are indeed living in the last days. Another sign of the last days is evil men and deception increasing. Evil men and deception increasing. Verse 13, it said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Boy, that sound like our politicians today. Just getting worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and just terrible. Perilous times and evil men will increase in frequency and severity as the return of the Lord approaches. My friend, it's only going to get worse. And all this is a sign the Lord is soon coming. So indeed, walk on your tippy toes, because the Lord can return any moment. It wouldn't be great if we closed the service in prayer and we're snatched away to heaven. That'd be wonderful. But so we saw the perilous times, the signs of the times. Now notice the apostles' admonition in verse 5, please. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The word form of godliness means they have the appearance of reverence and respect toward God, but they have none. They use words that show they may revere God. For example, maybe saw on the TV, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, referring to the death of George Floyd, and how she said she was praying for him, the family, and how she thanked God for the sacrifice he made to bring justice to all this going on, the racism. And she pays lip service but denies anything that God stands for. Having the form of godliness but denying the power of the word. Denying means refuse, reject God's authority. And it says in the latter part of verse 5, from such turn away. We'll have no part in that kind of behavior and lifestyle. And that's the signs of the last times. Number two. Christians are called to remember. Christians are called to remember. Go now to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter, in the midst of the last days, God's people are called to remember what has been taught in God's word by the prophets and the apostles. Remember the words of the prophets and the apostles, what Peter is calling us to do. 2 Peter 3, again, page 1711. We saw the signs of the end times. Now Christians are called to remember. It says in chapter 3, 2 Peter, verse 1, he said, this second epistle, beloved, that's a term of endearment for the believer, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by the way of what? Remember. In other words, he's calling us, remember something that the prophets have said, the apostles have taught. Verse 2, that ye be mindful of the words that were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus. And he goes on now, gives us words of utmost importance. He said in verse 3, knowing this first, the word that means not first in a list, but foremost in matter of subject. Peter's priority is to warn God's people. Knowing this first, that in the last days, it says here, notice what happened. There'll be scoffers, people that will ridicule and deny the truth. That'll be prevalent in the last days, ridicule of the truth and denial of that which is clearly truth in God's word. Boy, there's so much of that today. People ridicule. If you speak out for something that makes sense, is clear and right, you're made fun of, you're laughed at. So much ridicule today. The next thing is the pursuit of sexual pleasure. Latter part of verse 3 says, scoffers walking after their own lust. So Paul is saying, I want to help you remember what the prophets taught, what the apostles taught. The last days, there'll be scoffers, those that ridicule and deny the truth, and there'll be those who walk after their own lust. Pursue sexual pleasure. In fact, go now to Jude, please. Go to Jude chapter, only one chapter, Jude 1, page 1721. Jude says the same thing that the Apostle Peter said concerning calling us to remember as Christians. Jude 1, verse 17, page 1721, the book right before Revelation. If you start in the back and move forward, you got Revelation, then Jude. A very small book, it's easy to overlook. He's only 2 pages long. And notice verse 17. Sounds exactly what Peter said in 2 Peter. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18. How that they told you that there should be mockers in what? The last time, the last days, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So again, exactly what Peter said, the last days, people that mock, ridicule the truth, and pursue their own sexual, physical, lustly pleasures. That's a sign of the last day. Verse 19, these are they that separate themselves sensual, not having not the Spirit. So we began with a description of the end times. Then we saw Christians are called to remember. And number three, lastly, believers are exhorted to be faithful. How should I respond as a Christian amidst all this? When I see what the Bible describes the end times, and I see clearly this is exactly what is going on in our society, how should I respond? What that should cause me to do as a child of God? Let me give you four things that we're exhorted to be faithful at. Five things, in fact. Number one, to be obedient to God's word. Go back to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, where we began. Believers are exhorted to be faithful to obedience to the word of God. Back to 2 Timothy, after Paul shared the things that would be signs of the last days, Notice what he told this young preacher, Timothy, to do. In verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, Timothy said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, what did he learn? What did he know that he should be assured to continue in? Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scriptures. Timothy, in the midst of perilous times, you ought to be faithful. Be faithful in obeying the Word of God, living according to the dictation of God's Word. And the word continue means remain and abide in God's Word. Next, go with me now to the book of Hebrews, a very familiar passage, but I want us to look at a certain phrase in that. Hebrews. So exhort to faithfulness to God's Word, but also attendance to God's house. Attendance to God's house. The church attendance is so important in the latter days. Hebrews 10:25, page 1692. And you'll see a phrase referring to the latter days here and what we should be doing in the midst of that. Hebrews 10:25, most of you know this verse by heart. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Interesting, in the midst of a lot of stress and what's going on in our society, many Christians seem to want to fall away, become unfaithful to church. And God says that the opposite ought to be true. And he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day of his return. As you see the fact he's coming back, it happened any moment. Church attendance ought not be less and less, but more and more. So much the more as you see the day approaching. But also, not only attends to God's house, but encouraging the brethren. But he says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what am I to be faithful doing in the midst of all this? Number one, faithful to God's word, faithful to God's house, and faithful to encourage the brethren. There are many watching by live stream that are still not comfortable to come back because of the COVID. If you notice someone that had been here for a while, call them up. Let them know how much you miss them. Encourage them. Say, listen, looking forward to the time you'll be back with us. So many are stout now starting to come back. And boy, it thrills my soul to see them. Many of them haven't seen a whole year are now coming back. Praise the Lord. We ought to encourage each other. When you see someone here, it's been a while, go up to them. And it would not be appropriate to hug the neck, but maybe do an air hug. I don't even call it, but just say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, I missed you so much. And let them know. Call them up. Write them a card to say, I'm glad you're here. Let's encourage each other. There's so much that's discouraging in the world. The house of God ought to be a place of encouragement. Come to God's house, be faithful in doing so, and also to encourage the brethren. The next thing we should be faithful doing in the midst of all this is personal spiritual nourishment. Go now back to Jude, please. Back to Jude. Should have had to hold your finger there, but Jude 1. Again, page 1721. In the midst of all that Jude said about in the last days of his scoffers and people are going after their own lust, notice what he says here, we should be doing as God's people. And he used the word but here as a contrast to lustful behavior to now do not neglect your personal edification for Christians. Jude 1, verse 20, do not neglect personal edification. Verse 20, he says, but ye, contrast to the scoffers, beloved, building up who? Yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, so much time we talk about edifying each other, but here, Christian, you're called upon edify yourself, to build up yourself in the faith. Stay true, stay consistent in the Word of God and prayer and God's help. Build yourself up. We edify others. We should edify ourselves. Building up yourself. Do not neglect personal nourishment. Next, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Look in the middle part of verse 20. After he said, build up yourself, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is not a call to some ecstatic form of prayer such as tongues people do, but simply a call to pray consistently in the will and the power of the Spirit. Pray. This ought to be a time of stirring God's people to pray. Number three, be occupied with God's love. be occupied with God's love. It's in verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me say it even further. It doesn't mean you'll get in a place God doesn't love you anymore. God always loves you. God's love is unconditional. Whether you're good or bad, God loves you, period. But basically has the idea the believer should nurture himself and focus and be occupied that God loves you. My friend, God's love will never cease. In the midst of all this, remember, God said, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll meet your needs. I'll protect you. Focus on his love and how much he loves you and what you mean to him. That's what it means. Keep yourself in the love of God. And John 15, verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. And number four, we saw, do not neglect personal edification. Keep on praying. Be occupied with God's love. And number four, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Latter part of verse 21. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Talking about his return. Looking means look with anticipation and expectancy. I was expecting him to come back any moment. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. Keep your eyes in the skies. He's coming back soon. So believe it. One more and more. Close with this. Believers are exhorted to be faithful, to obedience to God's word, attendance to God's house, encouraging the brethren, personal and spiritual nourishment. And lastly, this is not in your notes. I added this morning. Is verse 22. Be faithful in sharing the gospel. Be faithful in sharing the gospel. You know, you think about the stressful times we have. We have the Lord to look and lean upon. We have the Lord to look to for strength. What does the unsaved have? There's no better time. They're looking for something. My friend, they're looking for it, and you found it. It's Christ. It says there in verse 22, and of some have compassion making the difference. There's no greater compassion a person can express than sharing the gospel with an unsaved person. My friend, what a time we should be doing that in the midst of all that's going on in our society. I want to close with one verse, and it'll be our closing. Go with me now to the book of 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John 2. This is our closing. 1 John chapter 2. There's no doubt that we're living in the latter days, the latter times. And Paul gave us a very clear description of what the last days will look like. And boy, it just seems like what is going on in society today. So, Christian, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in our obedience to God's word, faithful to the house of God, faithful in encouraging the brethren, and faithful in sharing the gospel. But notice here in 1 John chapter 2, it talks about the Lord's appearing. There'll be two kinds of Christians when God comes back. Which one will you be? Look what it says here. 1 John 2, 28, page. I don't have the page. 1 John 2, 28. Hoping you're near the back of your Bible. 1 John 2, 28. It says, and now, little children, he says, abide in him. Remain, continue close to the Lord and serving him in his word and prayer and so on. It says that when he shall what? When he appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him and his coming. Close your Bibles, please. Look up here. This verse speaks about two kinds of believers when the Lord returns. Most of you agreed that he's coming soon. There'll be those that will see the Lord coming. It can be boldly and with confidence because they're living a life that God's pleased with. They've been serving the Lord, and they're actively doing that which is right for God. Those that are the ones who have confidence. But there'll be some believers, because they're not abiding in Christ, that will be ashamed. That'll be those who are doing things they should not be doing. Things that people that have got away from the Lord and doing things that are unpleasant to God. When the Lord comes, if the rapture happened right now and you were snatched away and you stood before the Lord, what would your attitude be? Whoo, boy, I'm so excited about being here. So excited about this wonderful time. Or would you hang your head in shame because your life, you've allowed things in your life that's not pleasing? So many believers would be ashamed. You'll be there, you'll be in heaven, but many times you'll be ashamed because of that. Which one were you? There's no better time to make things right with God than now in the house of God. But you know, I've been speaking to those that know Christ as Savior, sharing with you that we are indeed living in the last days. We can see that scripture. And maybe you're here today or maybe watching by live stream and you never trusted Christ as Savior. You're not certain heaven's your home. So let me ask you a quick question. If you were to die today and stand before God, and God would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What answer would you give him? Now, the most popular one is the wrong one. The popular answer would be because I'm a good person, because I've done good things. And begin to list off all kind of good works they've done in life as a means. And based upon that, God, you should let me into heaven. However, the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. In other words, the very best we can do before we're saved is filth in the sight of God. And some of the people list off a bunch of filth before God as a means why God should let them to heaven. But the true answer should be because I've trusted in Christ and him alone as my Savior, that he's my only hope. So what is your hope for heaven? What are you looking to save you? What are you looking to as a means to have eternal life? Let me share it with you quickly and we'll close with this. God made it so simple and so clear that anyone can understand and know how to go to heaven. Number one, the Bible clearly says that we're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means nobody's perfect. We've all broken God's laws and commandments. We all have sinned. Number two, because we've sinned, there's a price tag. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it must die. And because you've broken God's laws, because you've sinned, you've earned from a holy God in heaven judgment, death in a place called hell. Number three, the Bible says your good works, your good deeds cannot save you. So many people think when you get to heaven, God's going to have a big scale there. He'll put all your good works on one side, all your bad works on the other. And whichever weighs the most determines where you go when you die. My friend, that's not true. The Bible says that we're saved by God's grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. If God has a scale in heaven, on one side he puts Christ, on the other side he puts you. How do you measure up to that? And so it's not our works that save us. So we're all sinners, we all owe penalty, and we cannot save ourselves. But the good news is this. I quoted the verse earlier, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. The penalty of sin that you earned, that you owe to holy God, Jesus paid on the cross. When he died on the cross, he died for you, paid your sin debt, he was buried, and he rose again. And he offers you, number five, eternal life by simple faith and trust in him as your Savior. John 3:16, many of you know already. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation comes through what Christ did for us, not by what we do for him. And it's our simple childlike faith in the finished work of Christ that God will save you and he will give you eternal life. So if you trust in him, let's be faithful to him until he returns. If you haven't trusted him, let's do it today. Take God at his word and trust Christ as your Savior. And the moment you do that, God forgives you and he gives you eternal life. Heaven becomes your home. Let's bow together, please. As our heads bowed and eyes are closed, as we conclude our service, again this morning I've been speaking to those of you that know Christ, and that we can see clearly from the word of God, we are indeed living in the last days, the days that precede the return of our Savior, and he is coming soon. But we saw in 1 John, as believers, we will be one of two categories. We can stand before him with confidence and boldness and gladness because we live for him and honor him with our lives. But there'll be many who stand before him with shame. Though they're saved, though they'll be in heaven, but they have shame because they have not honored the Lord with their life, they have not been living for him. Which one will you be this morning, Christian? If you be the one that would be shamed, why not make that right today? Why not deal with that as wrong in your life? The Bible said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Scripture says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Christian, I encourage you to take time right now to deal with that which is unpleasing to God. But if you're here today or watching by live stream, if you never received God's free gift of eternal life, why not do that right now? Take God at his word, receive Christ, and heaven will become your home. You say, Pastor, I understood what you said, but I've never made that decision. I'd like to do that today. And why not, right where you're at, and you know, quietness your mind, talk to God, and maybe say something like this. Just say, dear God of heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I have earned, I deserve your judgment. But God, I believe Jesus, your son, was punished in my place. The judgment that I deserve, he took upon himself. And he suffered, and he bled and died for me. And God, realizing I cannot save myself, I am trusting Christ and him alone to be my Savior and only hope for heaven. I'm trusting Christ alone as my Savior here today. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many say, Pastor, that made sense to me, and I prayed with you to receive Christ as my Savior. If you did that today, I would like to pray for you. I would like to include you in my closing prayer. I'm not going to have you forward or point you out. I just want to pray for you. So if what I said made sense to you and you put your trust in Christ as your Savior today, with heads bowed and eyes are closed, would somebody raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning and what all? Pastor, here's my hand. I trust in Christ. Would you pray for me today and what all this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you for the free gift of eternal life. And when we trust Christ, that is given to us the moment we do that. But Father, I pray that we would keep our eyes upon you and continue to serve and be faithful to the things you call us to do as your people. In the midst of this world that's getting worse and worse, we know the Lord is soon coming. But until that time comes, help us be faithful in serving you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.